Plugged In is a show that helps to build and inspire our youth. This show highlights and finds solutions to difficulties that teens and young adults face today. We will open the eyes of the youth and show them that the world is waiting for them to explore it. Make sure that you are plugged in as we work together to find solutions to empower ourselves. The error of youth is to believe that intelligence is a substitute for experience, while the error of age is to believe experience is a substitute for intelligence. Ernest Hemingway quotes. Get plugged in with Chelsea Francois every first and second Wednesday of each month at 6 o'clock p.m. on Freedom Train. Okay, hello everyone. I have on the show with me today Ladarius Calhoun, and I'll let him further introduce himself and what he's done.
Okay, well, thank you so much for having me today, Chelsea. I'm Ladarius Calhoun, a recent graduate of one of the greatest institutions in America, or the world, for that matter, Florida A&M University. And it's crazy because I walked across the stage just this past Friday, and it still hasn't hit me that I'm no longer going to be, you know, an undergrad at FMU. And FMU for the last 4 years was all I knew. So basically, I'm from a really small city in Polk County. Not many people have heard of Polk County, but it's near Orlando. And I was born and raised here. And I'm not trying to come back home, so I'll be transitioning to Florida International University this fall. So I'm leaving FAMU and going to a whole nother world, I would like to call it.
Yeah.
And, you know, at FAMU I did a lot of things, from pageants to RA to King Orange Green. And, I mean, that's a little bit about me. I love education for the most part. I love education and I love student leadership. Leadership in general is definitely one of my favorite aspects of life. So that's a little bit about Ladarius.
Okay. And from what you've told me, you did do a lot. That is a big transition. What made you decide to go to FIU in the fall? Because that's very different from small old Tallahassee to Miami.
Right. I'm big on procrastination, and it's bad, but in certain things, I procrastinate a little bit more than I do with other things. And as I realized that graduation was approaching, and it wasn't approaching slowly, it was approaching pretty quickly, I was like, well, dang, what am I going to do at the graduation? And being a broadcast journalism student, I was like, so if I try to land a job in news, or should I just try to get a different job while I'm trying to figure this out? And from taking classes and internships and all the other experiences I got as a journalism student, I kind of knew that I didn't want to go the news route. So I was like, I'm going to look into other things that drive me. And one of the things that drove me the most being at FAMU was student leadership. So I looked at student affairs, and I looked at all the good student affairs or higher education administration programs out there for a master's degree. And I found FIU, and I liked that it was it's really diverse, and I would get to mingle or connect and network with people who are from basically all over the world that come to FIU for this specific program. And since I love student leadership, I thought that higher education administration with a focus on student affairs would you know, help me hone in or use the skills I gained as a student leader.
Yeah.
And transition those into being a professional leader. So that's why I chose FIU, because of their diverse program and the skills I think that I'll definitely obtain this. So I'm moving to the big Miami kind of scared.
I think I would be too to leave, but I'm from Miami, but to leave Tallahassee, to think about leaving Tallahassee to go to Miami, I think the transition from Miami to Tallahassee is a little bit easier. The trees were a shock, but besides that, it wasn't much. I would ask what made you go into student leadership, but I don't think there's much of a difference when it comes into, you know, journalism and student leadership, because I think all it's about is, you know, publicly speaking and getting your point out there and getting your point across. So
right.
I can see the relation with those two.
Yeah. Well, I definitely, from as far back as I can remember, I guess elementary school, where I became involved in a whole bunch there, I guess I've just always been driven by involvement with whatever it was, and it had to be in correlation with education. So if it was something to do at a school and I could do it, then I found a way to do it, and I've been doing that ever since I can remember, since, like, fifth grade. So ever since then, I've just been driven to be a part of whatever it is, educational or recreational, extracurriculars.
Agreed. So when did you first realize you wanted to attend college, and what made you choose FAMU?
I first knew I wanted to see, I wasn't thinking about college until I had a project about finding a college. The beginning of my senior year, my AP literature, I'm going to say professor, but the teacher, she gave the class a project. We had to find like three colleges and research them, their programs, and the programs that we may want to enroll into. And I'll tell you, it wasn't until then when I was like, okay, dang, I'm about to graduate high school. Like, maybe I should go to, I started looking at the Air Force, because a lot of my uncles are in military, but they did Army, and they told me not to go to Army. So I started looking at the Air Force, then I started, you know, that was my go-to thing, like the military. I'm just going to go to the military, and or I'm just going to go to acting school and do all this great stuff. But when I looked at, you know, I kind of like evaluated everything, and that project helped me realize that the next best step would have been college. I didn't know what college, but I just thought that after doing the project that college was the normal thing to do, like after high school. A lot of people, more people would go to college than they would go to like the military, or they would go to straight into their career. So that's what drove me to attend college, and I never thought about FAMU, never once, because my friends in high school would always talk bad about FAMU. They always gave it a negative connotation, and they would always say, I'm never going to FAMU, and I just would just listen and like, okay, well, I guess I'm never going there either. And something just made me, when I was applying to colleges, I applied to five different colleges, something made me apply to FAMU. I said, you know, I'm going to apply there because that just may be where I get into. Or that just, if I don't get into anyone, if I get into there, then, you know, that'll make my parents proud. So I got into three. FIU was one, FAMU, and FSU was another. But FSU wanted me to come in the summer. I was like, yeah, I'm going to FSU. But then I got a job at Disney World, and I took the job over FSU's summer program. So I said, well, if I just go to FAMU, and then I can just transfer to FSU later on, that's how I ended up at FAMU. And I tell you, like, I'm glad it happened that way, because once I was there, I didn't want to leave. It was the culture. I had never been around, like, so many of my people that seemed so welcoming, like, and helpful, and always lend out a hand. So I was, like, drawn instantly into FAMU after orientation. And I was like, yeah, I think this is who I want to be. And even though in the back of my head, I still was like, I'm going to FSU. Something wouldn't let me leave.
Yeah.
I was stuck.
I agree, because a lot of my friends and even adults will be like, oh, why are you going to FAM? Because you got accepted into, you know, all these other schools, which will just remain nameless. I was like, because, FAMU is where I want to be, you know, like FAMU is... It's really a FAMU Lee, like, and I was like, it's really like, you can feel that people care there.
Yeah, I mean, and even though, go ahead. Well, even though you're going to have people that don't care, sometimes, most of the time at FAMU, you feel like there's a connection between you and others. So you just you really feel like attached to some people at FAMU.
Yeah, and that leads me to ask you, what are a few lessons that you've learned during your time in college?
A few lessons, well, it all happened so fast, and since I was always driven to be involved, as soon as I got there, I moved into Gibbs Hall, And at that time, the SAMU Village wasn't there, and Gibbs Hall was the spot. Like, that was just the spot. Everyone came to Gibbs Hall. And that's why I moved there, because someone told me about Gibbs Hall. So I moved. And every year, University Housing holds, like, pageants for each dorm or facility. And I ran for Mr. Gibbs Hall. And I was just sure enough that I was going to get the title Mr. Gibbs Hall for that year. Because I had won everything in middle school. I had won everything in high school. I'm like, okay, well, I'm always winning things. I always put my all into everything. And I guess that's why I win. So I did the same thing with the Mr. Gibbs pageant. And as soon as I lost, I didn't even come in like a runner-up position. And everyone in the crowd probably thought that I was going to win, because I thought I was going to win. And I'm just looking like, okay, yeah, I got it. So one of the first lessons I learned at SAMU was, if it's for you, it's for you. And if it's not, move on. Like, don't dwell in it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times people would be so set on something, and if they don't get it, then their whole experience is kind of ruined. Like, you know, SAMU's a big pageantry school, and when people don't win, they kind of disappear for a while. But I had to learn that whatever it is, if it's for you, it's already there. I mean, like, don't dwell in the things that you cannot control. So I learned that because I was so stuck on the damn thing. And then another thing I learned was that you're going to meet people, and people are going to meet you. And just growing up being really sheltered, I thought I could do everything myself. And I finally quickly realized that you just need help sometimes. It doesn't hurt to ask. And I just always wanted to be the one to say, I did it all along. But I had to learn that I'm going to need people, and people will need me sometimes. I learned a lot of lessons, especially, like, you know, what you're going to learn the most, or one of the most valuable lessons you're going to learn in college, is about friendship and compassion. So I learned that true friends, if you're always be yourself, then true friends are they're gradually attached to you, or they're gradually come to you if you're just yourself. Like, you can't go out of your way to be someone else, to be friends with someone. So if you be yourself, the true friends and the true compassionate friends, they're going to be drawn to you. So those are some of the lessons I learned in college.
And I have to agree with all of them, like, because I'm one that do join, like, everything. Like, I run for SGA president in high school. Like, I run for just about everything, like, best and brightest. Like, so I was like, I took a mean loss when I did best and brightest, and I didn't win what I was going for. And then I was like, well, and it was my sister that was like, you just can't beat yourself up, because I was like, maybe I just didn't do enough, you know, like.
Mm-hmm.
I just did not do enough. And then she was like, no, if it's for you, it's for you. And she's also a family graduated. She graduated past Friday. So I'm pretty sure it's just something you all learn. If she was saying the same thing.
Yeah, you got to move
and
on.
And so I agree.
Yeah.
And I know you said you were in pageants and that you joined a lot of different things, but I wanted to know what are the specifics of the extracurricular activities that you were a part of. Like, what were they?
Okay, well, at first, when I first got to SAMU, I was just really just trying out a lot of things, you know, trying to find my fit. Because that's another thing you're learning, like, you're not fit for everything.
Yeah.
And, you know? So I had to learn that, and I had to figure that out. But from the beginning, I joined Big Brother, Little Brother, the mentoring organization. But
yeah.
I wasn't really into it, I guess, or with the things I wanted to get out of it. I guess I just didn't put myself into it enough to get those things I was hoping to get out of it. So I was in there for a bit, and then after that, I really didn't remain active because when I first got there, I was all about, like, fashion and modeling. My mom had me in, like, a modeling school when I was younger. So I joined Faces Modeling Troupe after that, my freshman year. And I was really, really involved with Faces. It was like we were a family, and that was my main organization. So I would do my schoolwork, and then next thing, if Faces had something going on, then I was with Faces. And I became Mr. Faces Modeling Troupe. So I became like the face of it, and where we put on different community service organizations, I mean, initiatives, and then we would have different gatherings with the organization. So I did that. Then came the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, you know, NAACP. I ran for Mr. NAACP, and it was a scholarship pageant, and I won that. So I became the face of NAACP. Some kind of servant as Mr. Faces and NAACP at the same time, Mr. NAACP at the same time. And, you know, it was kind of a lot. So
yeah,
I was like, you know, I'm going to prioritize how much time I devote to each organization. But that didn't mean anything because after that, I still went to join something else. I added something else to my plate. So I became a co-advisor for the University Housing Royal Court. I helped put on the housing pageant, the big one that they had every year. And then the next year, with all of those organizations, in conjunction with becoming the main advisor for the University Housing Royal Court, and then I became the president for the organization. So I did a lot. I spent a lot of time, or a lot of my service in university housing as the advisor for the Royal Court, and also as a resident assistant. Now I can talk about being a resident assistant all day long, because you know, that came along with a lot. It came along with meeting several different personalities, dealing with those, or like mentoring and guiding people as they matriculate throughout FAMU, because FAMU isn't one of those schools you just get by. Like, you really have to, whatever it is you're doing, you really have to, you know, you have to like work for it in a way, especially in classes. I feel like our professors are like our aunties and uncles, so they're hard on us. So being a resident assistant led me to be involved in just about everything. Like, it's so many different roles that came along with being a resident assistant. But from that resident assistant role, I gained a lot of my production skills, our hosting skills, and public speaking skills. And also, I fell in love with putting on pageants or putting on different, like I said, different productions or whatever they may be, events or programs. And that resident assistant role allowed me to be really creative. So, yeah, all of those have definitely helped me become, you know.
Would you say that's the experience that affected the person you are today the most?
Yeah, I would definitely say. I would definitely say that the resident assistant role out of all of those, because I served in it for 3.5 years, and every year it changed, or every year I learned something different, not just about the role, but about myself. I had to learn how to be more, because I was constantly speaking in front of various students or family members or different faculty members or working with them. And I had to learn to, you know, code and mask a lot of things that I was used to. Like, if I'm working with just a student and now I'm working with the faculty or different professionals, I had to learn how to know who I'm working with and how to turn on different things and turn off different things or different sides of myself. So I definitely learned that about being a junior professional in a resident assistant role. And so it still helped me shape who I am becoming, not just who I am today, but I think I use a lot of, look back on a lot of the experiences and a lot of things I learned from that role, because it came with so much. So it definitely helped shape who I am becoming today.
Okay, and if you could give someone who's going into any college in the upcoming fall a piece of advice, what would it be and why?
Oh, I would definitely say, you know, I kind of touched on this already. You know how people always tell someone to be themselves? My junior year, I started a campaign where I went around with a selfie stick. And I just went around with this selfie stick, recording videos all day or all week about people being themselves. So, you know, get a selfie stick, being yourself. So I walked around and had this sign that said, "It's you, be you." And the message I was trying to get across was whether if you're struggling finding yourself academically, because I struggled with finding a major. I came in as pre-pharmacy, and it just was not for me. And if you're struggling finding yourself between your friends or a crowd, like I wanted people to know that at the end of the day, I know people always tell you to be yourself, but it's really true. If you just be yourself, then you're going to attract genuine people, genuine spirits. And if I didn't take anything from my college experience, what I took was you want to be surrounded with people who are real. Like, I get tired of starting over, like a new friend here and this friend leaves, but then a new friend here, or whether it's getting into a relationship with somebody, like starting over is draining sometimes, most of the time. So when you're yourself, you're going to attract people who are genuinely attracted to who you are. And that way you don't have to go out of your way to, you know, keep a friend or keep a relationship, keep somebody in your circle. And if you really just find yourself, it's hard to find yourself. So in the process, you just really got to find out. In the process, you're going to learn a lot of different things about you. So once you learn those different things about you, I want everyone to know who's entering college. As you learn those different things about you, like, keep those and believe those, because no one else is going to believe in you like you believe in you. And that's another piece of advice. So that's one. And then another thing I would tell people is believe in their destiny, because and don't let anyone sidetrack them. Because a lot of times you can tell someone your destiny or what you want to do, and it kind of gets infected with, like, doubt and negativity. And people just always kind of want to put people down sometimes. So I want people to believe in their destiny and know that just because someone else doesn't see it like they see it, they're never going to see it like they see it, because it's theirs, it's their destiny, and it's not for anyone else to believe in it but them. So that's one of the most important things, to believe in yourself and your destiny.
And you're here to hear, folks, but that reminds me of last week's interview where I had Alicia Hall on, and she has this organization called Dreamers Live, and she helps you to incorporate whatever you're trying to do, like whatever business plan that you have, she helps you to complete it. And then we were speaking about how some people, when you tell them your dream, they pick at it until you almost don't want to do it anymore because you're discouraged. Right. So I think that's a great lesson, because if you know that something may work and it's what you want to do, then you should always, you know, keep working at it.
Right.
And one of my favorite things that I've seen you post, it said, I'm not okay. It takes a lot for someone to admit that they're dealing with a storm or battle that a lot of people will not understand. So I'm just fine with telling the world that I'm not okay and that I don't have it all together. And that was one of my favorites, because I feel like we're not allowed to be emotional, you know, like from the culture to certain media outlets. It's like it's promoted for us to wear the Superman outfit and cape. And we are tired, and we're told to keep grinding and just keep going.
Yeah.
And so I felt like that was a very important post and message to get out there, because, you know, because if you keep grinding and grinding, then you get down to the nub and there's nothing left for you, you know. So
right.
I think that's an important message to send out there. You know, it's great to join all these different extracurricular activities, but at the end of the day, you don't want to burn yourself out too much.
Yeah, I would know. But, yeah, and when I posted that, it was like I was just in a place where, like, I was just really tired of listening to, whether it be the closest people, your family, your mom, your dad, whoever it is, listening to people congratulate you and, oh, job well done, but a lot of the things you've done, you've never really done them for you. You just really done them because people are going to like what you've done. So I was basically telling people that I wasn't okay with, you know, the process of finding myself. Like, that's a really hard thing to do. And to just keep living and not really, you know, giving yourself time or giving time to yourself. Like, you really have to spend time alone. Like, I've been learning that, too. You got to spend a lot of time alone. And when I posted that and people agreed, it kind of made me realize that, you know, dang, I'm really not alone, because if these people are liking it or if they're agreeing, then they know what I mean. So it's okay not to be okay sometimes. I just really want people to understand that.
Yeah, and then when you and then once you get that first, oh, great job, it almost becomes sometimes addicting to, you know, keep doing different things. So it's like, okay, so my mom's proud. So because I was in math club, and Lord knows math is not my favorite subject because I prefer writing. But because I had already joined, and I was like fifth place in math bowl, and then my mom was like, and she was just telling everyone, you know, like how great her daughter is in math and stuff. So it was like, I didn't want to be in math club anymore. But because, you know, I got that good job that one time, I was like, I have to be in math club, you know. So it's almost where sometimes you have to choose you first.
Right. You do.
And within all the things that you've done, I know there's probably a lot of community service and volunteering that went in it. So what is the importance of volunteering and community service that you have learned?
Oh, I didn't do a lot of community service in my earlier years, as in, like, when I first got to CMU, I didn't do a lot of community service until I guess, became a leader in certain aspects, like in certain positions, like Mr. Faces and Mr. NAACP. It kind of forced me to. So I really did not see an importance in it until I started doing it myself, or until I had to put those initiatives together on my own. And I got so caught up in just giving back, whether it be at FAMU or whether it would be taking the housing royal court to the nursing home or taking them to clean up a street. I mean, the most simple things, like just going around picking up trash on FAMU campus. I did that because I wanted to kind of spread a message of, like, you know, a lot of times we come from places where people don't care or people really don't give back. And it doesn't take much to give back. People think it takes so much, and that's why I think they don't do it. They don't get up in the morning to help build a house, because I've done that for humanity as well. And in the process of doing all the community service and volunteering, I found it enjoyable. And in that process, I stopped calculating the hours I put in because I started to like it so much. So I definitely think that the importance of community service, volunteering, and giving back is to show others. You know, you kind of want to create a trend. You want to, whether it be the most simple project or if you're volunteering for 10 minutes, you kind of want to show people that it doesn't take much. You want to create that message and create that trend to where people will realize it doesn't take much here. Just let me do it, because, you know, if I do it, then someone else will do it.
Yeah. And it doesn't take much, and volunteering doesn't, you know, always have to be boring. And I think that's where a lot of it goes wrong, because I would ask my friends, because one time I had to plant flowers at Miracle Hill, which is a nursing home. And I asked them to come, and they're like, are you serious? Like, in the sun, plant flowers? And I was like, but you should see their faces when, you know, it looks better outside, and there's just these flowers to make them happy. And it's like, and I was like, once you try it, you'll probably like it, you know? Don't knock it till you try it.
Yeah, and when you get there and you're doing the service, it's like, when it's time to leave, I know for me, it's like, dang, I kind of don't want to leave.
Yeah.
I know we have to, but I kind of don't want to leave. And that's the good thing about community service. You get so caught up in it to where it's like you're just really giving your all.
I agree. And I think it teaches discipline in a way. It teaches commitment. And what would you say to convince someone who does not plan on going to college to attend? If you would say something.
I have a younger brother and a younger sister, and my brother, he was at TCC while I was at FAMU, and he just realized that, you know, college really isn't for everyone. So if I was talking to my brother and other people that believed or had the same feeling about college as my brother does, I would definitely tell them, you know, like I was talking about destiny, whatever you believe your destiny is, like, take those steps to get there. Whatever you believe those steps are, take them. Because our journey, our path, or whatever roadmap we're on, it's not ours. It was kind of like predestined in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So we always have to realize that it's not our path to take. We're really taking the path that was laid there for us. So if someone feels really deeply in their heart that something is important, I definitely say they should definitely take the necessary steps to find what is for them. I don't want to say everyone should go to college. You don't. When people get in a space where they don't want to be, it's
unhealthy.
It's kind of right. It's unhealthy. It messes with their mind. They become emotional, because I'm pretty sure we've all been in places, not just school, but we've been in places where we did not really feel comfortable, or we did not want to be, or a thing that the human brain isn't going to work hard for something, or the human mind isn't going to be so dedicated to something that they really don't want for themselves. So I would definitely say someone who doesn't want to go to college, who's not planning to attend college, that, you know, education is a foundation for many things, but your destiny is more important. Your your goals and what you really believe is for you is more important than just, you know, following everyone else because you think that this is what you should do. It's the wrong thing to do. So definitely find what's for them, you know, the most positive thing that's for them, and work hard at it.
And I agree, because it all depends on whatever that person's definition of success is. Because we have this persona where you have to go through, you know, up until 12th grade, and then you go to college, and then you find a job, and then, you know, you're successful, you know, boom. You make over $100,000 a year, you're great. But some people take different paths. A lot of people don't go to college, and they can still make that same, they can still become successful. But what it is that you just find what your niche is, and you work hard at what that is, you know, instead of, you know, you have to find your passion and why you're here, and then work hard at that specific thing, and then there goes your success. That's my definition.
Yeah, and I definitely believe that we were all put here for one specific reason. Like, that one thing that you can do, no one else can do it. And granted, it takes a lot to find out what that one thing may be, but it's there, and we really have to work hard to, you know, follow that roadmap, because, you know, we're going to run into a lot of lions, tigers, and bears, and all that bad stuff. But as soon as we fall down, like, I think that courage kind of defines my life in a way. So whatever I've wanted to do, I kind of ran into a lot of blocks. But if those blocks pushed me down, if I was strong enough to get back up, it built my courage every time. So I became more strong and courage. So I definitely think that one thing that's out there that only you can do, and only I can do, and only they can do, it's out there. It's really have to, you know, they really got to find it. It's hard, but it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot of hurdles and bumps, and it's going to hurt. But
and I agree, and that just goes back to being you and finding yourself, because once you find yourself, all those other pieces, I believe, fall into place for you.
Exactly.
Okay, and always remember that you will become successful, you are intelligent, and you will rise above. Thank you for listening to Plugged In with Chelsea Francois.
Thank you so much, Chelsea. This has been really inspiring in a way, and I think, you know, your podcast is pretty dope. You've had the courage to step out and do something that a lot of people haven't done but wanted to do, so I think that says a lot about your character.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next time.